So we are going to release our awesome kids. Woo-hoo, you guys are going to have tons of fun. And Miss Christy and Mr. Dan, our family life pastors in the back. Christy's going to take all of our kids, and our older girls are welcome to stay or go help out, whichever one you would prefer. And
we have child care for the little
and
ones.
And we do have nursery for anyone under, so kindergarten and below will go to the nursery. Miss Shirley will take care of you there. So go and have fun. Fly, be free. So kids, go, you champions, you geniuses. Abraham, head on out. Abraham, you go. You're staying. You like staying? Oh, Abraham's staying?
Staying? No.
No. Goodbye.
Bye.
We're going to do that soon, buddy. We're going to do that soon, but thank you. We need your help out with Miss Christy. So now that it's just us adults, Miss Christy might need help if you get one or two. Why don't you go ask her and see if she has her sister.
I asked her mom if she may help. She said no, there's too many.
She said no, she's good. Okay, awesome. So I would love for us all to just like get comfy. If you're in a place that you're like, this is not a seat that works for me, how about we just like get up and move? Like it's super easy. There's coffee, there's that cocoa got demolished. That's awesome.
We can't make enough cocoa.
There's not enough cocoa in life, is there? So most of you know us.
Yeah, I'm Greg.
Yeah, and I'm Angela, and we just started this really cool adventure.
We're married to each other.
We are married to each other. It works out because we have the same last name, so. And we have kids in common, so that helps. And we're just new in this adventure with some of our core people here and some guests, and we're really excited to have this time together. I discovered after I got here tonight that my phone got left at home, as well as my notes. Right? Do we need a timer? The answer is yes. I'm a little bit echoey, Dan, so I don't know if we might be able to solve that just a little bit, but that would be great. Although I do kind of like the echo. It makes me feel more important. I need that like echo soundtrack. Does anybody have a soundtrack to their life that they like, you know, have a, you know, like, right? Thank you. Right? Thank you. I'm not the only crazy one. Don't you like drive down the road or you're like brushing your teeth and you're like, I have a soundtrack to my brushing my teeth. I have a soundtrack to my, you know, like if I was someone famous and I was in that like montage of like the things going up. Why are you looking at me like you don't have this? You know you do.
Oh, I do. It's Reloading Music.
Thank you. Thank you. So makes sense. Okay, all right. What's the soundtrack? Favorite soundtracks? If you have one, go ahead, throw it on out.
Last of the Mohicans. The entire album.
You will come back for me. I just live.
Stay alive.
Stay alive. I married you. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
I Wake to the Danger Zone.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. Anyone else?
It's up to you, Lindsay.
Five tone.
You're in control.
Yeah, Tom.
There we go.
Genius. Genius. If only our worship songs were as good as these songs, right? I mean, some of them are really good. No, no, I'm not knocking them. I'm sorry. Sorry, did I say that? That was rude. Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
Anyone else? Anyone else got a great soundtrack in their life that they regularly? Shalene, I know you have about 20 soundtracks.
Poison's greatest hits.
Oh.
All day long.
She's a genius.
Right?
Yeah.
Basically all 80s bands.
Yeah,
I could get 80s rock.
And you were young in the 80s. Yes. I love that. All right. So. We are in the middle
of... We're pretty formal around here. So.
Just in case you didn't know. So we are in the middle of James. In fact, James 3 is where we're at, which has been one of my most life-changing... James has been one of the most life-changing books in my life. And for those of you who know me, you know that I really disliked James, and I thought he ought to get kicked out of the Bible. I never knew how he got in the first place. Just because he seems so religious. There's over 57 commands in five short chapters. And it just seems harsh. In fact, there's more commands than any other book in the New Testament. And James is the brother of John, and he had an awakening to who Jesus really was after Jesus rose from the dead. And so this is a man who knew Jesus as a human, and then came into an awakening of who he is as the divine. And that's our story, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I know that many people look at James and they say, James is a how-to manual of how to live the Christian life. And I would just have to say that I couldn't disagree more. I don't think that any of the Bible is a how-to manual. I think that the Bible is a revelation of who we are, that we are spiritual beings living a human life.
Good.
Thanks, Jules. We are not human beings trying to live a spiritual life. So knowing that we were born of the Spirit before we began as humans, and knowing that we are awakening every day as a human, discovering our connectedness with the God who so loved us and so loved the idea of us that he had to make each one of us real. That is the delight that we are coming from. And so there is no how-to manual, because the Lord goes, my imagination was your how-to manual. Who I made you to be is how you live who I made you to be. So we live from his delight, not towards it. We live from his affection, not trying to get it. And we love from the core of who he made us to be. And when we know that, we can read James and realize that what James was wanting to accomplish was awaken a very religious community to the reality of who they really are. And so have any of you been to like an embassy anywhere around the world, whether it was the United States Embassy or another embassy? Has anybody visited one? And what embassy did you visit? U.S. Embassy. And I don't know if that particular embassy has such a contrast, but there are embassies that you can go to where the land surrounding the embassy is one thing, and the embassy is something completely different. In fact, you can have like desert and dry and nothing, and you will have a wall, and then inside you will have grass and trees and fruit trees and lush produce. It's because this land on this side of the wall is owned by some people, and this land on the other side of the wall is owned by someone else. And you can see the prosperity of the owners with your own eyes. James is trying to help people see that there are two landowners. There is the kingdom of heaven, and there is a kingdom of darkness. And I want you to see with your own eyes the difference. Is that good? So, Greg, if you wouldn't mind just putting up Kingdom of Heaven, Kingdom of Darkness, two sides. It's so good when you forget your notes at home, right? It's good he planted it in you, right? And you don't have to worry. So good. I just love you, Lord. Thanks. He said, I love you too. So, you deciding which tip to use?
I love that.
One of them is big.
One is big, one is, yeah. So Kingdom of Heaven, Kingdom of Darkness, you know which side each one goes on, because like we've done this before. And James is wanting to compare and contrast what the human life looks like under each domain, so that people will no longer be confused with who they are. He doesn't want them to be caught up in trying to do something. He's wanting to awaken us to who we really are. So when he is throwing a command out there, it isn't a try harder. It is a prophetic release to wake up to who you really are. Don't keep trying. Just wake up to the reality that this is not you and this is instead. And so he compares and contrasts dark and light, dark and light, dark and light. And it can feel like a heavy burden if you think you're trying to achieve the light. But if you know you're born of the light and you're now being awakened to light, it's no longer a heavy burden. It is now something that awakens you and empowers you, and it's a prophetic word. It is the very thing that God did when he spoke things into being. So he will speak into us these very things, and as we hear, we awaken to that reality. And we also then have the same ability in that co-creative power, because he said, why did I make humanity? Why? What did I? So that you would have dominion like us on the earth over everything. So that you would release the rule and reign of this kingdom your homeland, your birthplace, in this other land, and that you would subdue everything that would come against it. Mm-hmm. And how would you subdue it? You would overcome evil with good. It's not force, it's not might, it's not power, it's goodness. Mm-hmm. And when I first started to hear that, I thought, really, can goodness be that powerful? And I'm here to say, I think we've come to discover that it is. Goodness is just really seriously the most powerful force on earth. Ask yourself this: would I rather be loved by somebody, or would I rather be treated good? There is a standard in which goodness cannot fail. Even love is a challenge when you put it right up to goodness and you go, wow, I think I'll vote for goodness, because you cannot have goodness without love. So, yay, we're stepping into James. I was going to skip the first part and jump to the next and then come back to it, but you know what? I'm just feeling the Lord go, no, let's just get it out of the way. I'm reading from New King James, and it says, my brethren, meaning all of you who are so close to me, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment. Well, that sounds not encouraging. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is perfect and also able to bridle the whole body. That's like a whole lot packed in two little verses, and it's just like we leaped from one thing to the next, which is many of you probably shouldn't become teachers because you'll receive a stricter judgment. And because of this, you know, many people stumble. And if you don't stumble, you're perfect. And what do you even do with all of that, right? So after a couple of years of kind of just hanging out in James, I'm just going to share with you what I learned. And if anyone wants to throw anything out on a traditional teaching, but my traditional teaching was, y'all shouldn't want to be a teacher because it's going to be harsher for you and you're going to have more enemy attacks. Yeah. Right? Okay, thanks, right? And all of you shouldn't think that you're perfect, because we all know that you stumble. So anybody have anything to come against? Okay.
Not just enemy attacks, but you'll be judged harsher. Like, yes.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yes. That bigger accountability thing on the day of judgment. Yes. Yeah, that's always so good to look forward to, right? Okay, yeah, right. So here's what I perceive that this really actually says. Because I asked the Lord, what does this mean? And he says, well, Ange, you don't really understand judgment. I said, no, I really don't, because it sounds horrible. And he said, well, I want you to understand that judgment is one of the best things that can happen to you. Because when I judge you, what I do is I separate what's light and dark. And so put like a little person right in the middle here. And what he does is he goes, when I produce a judgment, what I am doing is I am separating. A judge, when they judge, right, they find someone guilty and not guilty, right? There's a judgment. That is exactly what God does when he judges. When he judges us, he will separate that which has come against us and that which is our true self. Because he didn't make us lacking. When he dreamed of Bianca in his imagination before the foundations of the world, she didn't have a downside. She didn't have a personality flaw. She didn't have weaknesses. So he goes, let me separate that off of you so that you can see your true self. Because who I made you to be is all good. So when you come before me for judgment, I love it, we're a little purple creature, it's all good. What he does is he separates and will show us, this is what's come against you. So don't think that you're this way because you're Italian. Don't think that you're this way because, you know, oh, I'm outspoken. All of those things the Lord wants to do is prove to you that they're not you. Isn't that the best news? The best news of the day is everything you've ever hated about yourself isn't actually you. And how are you going to overcome it? Are you going to overcome it by works? Or are you going to overcome it by discovering that your goodness, who God actually created you to be, will naturally overcome anything that's tried to convince you that it's you? That's why Paul says your battle is not against flesh and blood, not even yourself. Yay! So I realized after that, I said, Lord, you've totally redeemed the concept of judgment, because now I realize that you're going to utterly convince me of who I really am, and all of these other qualities that I'm not so happy about, you're going to prove to me that it's not me, and you're going to show me who I really am, and who I really am is going to naturally overcome anything that's not me. In fact, I'm going to grab two index cards. And it is so clangy. For those who are listening, apparently a lot of people are listening to the video or the audio. I guess they can't really listen. They can listen to videos, but I'm listening for a lot of this. And so for those of you at home, I'm wearing like 8 necklaces. I feel so pretty. And I almost fell off the chair. So I felt like the Lord goes, I really need you to understand that you have spent most of your Christian life trying to figure out behavior. And when you focus on behavior, what happens is that kingdom gets bigger, because what you behold increases. What you put in front of you becomes bigger. And he said, you've spent most of your life in ministries focusing on behavior, right? Recovery of this, you know, overcoming that, you know, whatever. And he said, when you focus on this, it just pushes back. He said, but if you will start to discover your identity and who I made you to be, it will always overcome behavior. And he said, so you have to understand that behavior is here and identity is here, and it will always press down. And so we're no longer trying to accomplish who we are. We are awakening to who we are. And if there is an addiction, if there is a challenge in our lives that is overwhelming us, it is not about trying to do it harder. It is about an awakening that we must come into. So for those who teach, what happens is it opens up a greater gift of judgment in your life to allow for more things to be separated. Right? So for those who want it, you can jump in, because right when you start to teach something, people are going to start asking questions. It's going to start pressing. And that can either be a difficult thing and you can see that as painful, or you can see it as a gift that it is, which is to awaken you to the lack, which awakens you to your identity. Yay! I love how God turns everything into good news. And it says, so we all stumble, and I don't know if you know, but that word stumble actually means to descend from. For we all descend from a higher place in many things. Isn't that a good way of looking at it? We descend from our true self in many things. And if you don't, you will discover, if you don't descend from your higher place, you will find that you are complete and perfect, lacking nothing. And is that possible? Yes. Because Jesus came to show us that it's possible. He came to introduce us to our true selves. He didn't come to be an example for us. He came to be an example of us. To show us how it's done and awaken us to the true possibilities. So good. All right, so he goes on in James 3:3. Indeed, if we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. So we know what the bit is, right? The little piece that holds the mouth, and we can turn a whole horse with this tiny piece of metal. Look also at ships, although they are so large and they're driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, and he's introducing a new concept, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things, and see how great a forest fire it can kindle. So what he's doing is not trying to get us to do better or be better. He's trying to awaken us to the greater reality that we are spiritual beings living in a human body. So he's going, hey, you who is a spirit being born of the spirit, realize you are born into a human body that something else has access to. And it is trying to rule you through this little tiny thing called the tongue. What? Isn't that great? Yes. Because is there anything in us that's can start an evil fire? No. No. That's not how we were designed. So he's going, let me point out that there is something that has access to rule your whole being. And it's the I'm going to let you in on a mystery. And the mystery is this. There is power of life and death in the tongue. And there is something that pushes on you to control your whole being. And it's your tongue. So good, right? Woo! Because the tongue can do many things, life and death, and create these great fires. And the tongue is a fire. And it can become a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members, meaning this, the tongue is so positioned amongst the parts of us. It is meant to be a key thing, either ruled by the Spirit or pressed by the enemy. It will be a major indicator to us as to what side of the embassy we're on. Right? It will give us away. What side of the wall of the embassy are you on? Your words will tell you. No matter how you might not know, they will reveal which kingdom you're releasing. Which kingdom is the source of your thoughts and feelings. So good. It can defile your whole body, meaning that it can hit your emotions. It can affect your thoughts. It can rule. And it can set a course for nature that is set on fire by hell. And that hell is not like an eternal, everlasting place. It was Gehenna, which is a temporary place where everyone took their trash. So don't be thinking, okay, the tongue is a place that is connected with some sort of eternal whatever. That's not what James was intending. He was saying the tongue is something that can take you to the trash heap. It can cause you to be considered in your own mind worthless. That is a much better understanding of what James meant. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Right? So he's saying this whole thing of dominion has happened with animals. There's been a tameness. We have caused wild creatures to become tame. But no person can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Is he really saying that like there is nothing that good can come from the tongue? No. He's going, let me let you know that there is an evil access that can happen through your words. And it cannot be tamed. It's just like in Job where it says, would you take on this creature and make it your pet? No, because evil cannot be kept in your household. Greg and I struggled with anger in our home and in our marriage, both of us. And we listened to every CD you could listen to, and we, you know, read books, and everything was about anger management. And I finally discovered, and the Lord said, there is no way to manage anger. It must be overcome. It will not become a pet. You cannot tame it. It must be overcome. And that's what he's saying. Your dominion is not to tame evil. It is to overcome it. So don't be confused. There are things in the earth that you tame. There are things in the earth that you overcome. Oh, so good, right? Woo-hoo! With the tongue, he goes, we bless God and the Father, and with it we can also curse men who have been made in the same likeness of God. Out of the same mouth can come blessing and cursing. So, my precious friends, these things ought not to be. He's going, so this little tiny piece, this rudder, this bridle, this part of your life can be held hostage by the kingdom of darkness, or it can be released in the kingdom of heaven, and it can set on course and release and manifest either one of the intentions of that kingdom. So what he's saying is, you can release the kingdom of heaven through your words or the kingdom of darkness. He could have said it in a lot less words, but it's kind of beautiful, the imagery. And he goes, does the tongue not send forth, or does not a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? No. Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt and water fresh. So he's going, You are now dealing with two different sources. If you find yourself praising God and complaining about this, or you know, or cursing this, realize that you are now under two different sources that are pressing on you. And that's good news, because it's like, oh, it's just a matter of source. How simple is that? Yay! And then came my favorite part that I thought was the absolute worst, and I really hated this next section, and I had a very dear friend who said, I think that this might become your life verse, and I'm like, once I read it, I was like, you have got to be kidding me, you totally don't know me, and I need a new mentor. But here it is. Who is wise and understanding among you? And I so wanted to be wise. I was tired of living the life of yearning for God, wanting to live a life of wisdom. And I want to just be wise. So for you who is wise and understanding, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. I was like, what? That doesn't even make sense. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Okay, thanks. Help. That's helpful, James. Like, he's basically saying, don't reveal that you're a fool. Because this wisdom does not descend from above, but from earthly, sensual, and demonic sources. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So it goes on a little bit more. I'll read the, well.
Don't read the next.
Don't read.
Just go back through it. It's
okay.
Too much.
Thanks, hon. This is why we pay you the big bucks. He's saying, again, let me compare and contrast. Let me show you who you are as a spiritual being living as a human. Let's not get confused. There can be something pressing on you. And if you find yourself having envy, being jealous of other people's giftings, being jealous of other people's opportunities. Can I tell you how many times I've seen people preaching a super bad message and I'm like, I could do a lot better job than you. I think I could. I'm sorry. I'm just, you know. And the Lord goes, hey, you know, let me let you know you're under attack. You don't need to deal with yourself. You need to realize that you're under an attack and the source wants to hurt you. So don't agree with envy. Don't agree with self-seeking. Do not agree with those things and move forward in a life, because it will come to shame you later, because you will not living in the truth. Isn't that so good? He's going, let me show you a secret. If you are hit with these things, this is what it really means. Because wisdom from above, from the Lord, is not seeking itself. Wisdom that is from above is not focused on the, and this word for demonic is actually the fates. The fates. It's not demonic as in spiritual, it's actually like, it's not seeking to control the fates of things. So for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So what he's saying is, if you're finding yourself hit with that, let me judge you so that it can be separated, so that you can get back in touch with your true source. So that you can get back in touch with your true self. Because your true self is not confused about how magnificent you are. Your true self is not jealous when someone else is successful. Your true self isn't confused. Oh, are we really? Oh. Your true self is not... I said that because the timer went off. For those who are listening, that was a timer thing. Anyway, your true self is not confused that there is so much goodness and success to go around that it is not a limited commodity. Right?
Can you say the last part one more time?
Back up to before the alarm, just before the alarm.
Your true self is not confused. Your true self doesn't think that success is a limited commodity. It does not think that the opportunities that exist for others somehow limit yours. Your true self knows that other people being the very best of them is actually an open door for all of us to be the very best selves. So our true self is not confused that our part in the earth cannot be taken by anybody else. And that's why we can spur everyone on into a life of incredible purpose and passion and goodness, because it does not limit, it just opens up more and more and more and more. And our true self is not confused. So if we find ourselves emotionally confused, if we find our words sometimes criticizing people a little too harshly, he's going, let me let you know that's not your true self, because your spirit is not an idiot. That's what he's saying. I could have just said it like that. Your spirit's not an idiot. Because your spirit and the wisdom that is from above, first of all, is pure. Pure. I wondered about that. I have wondered about that for years. Can it really be pure? If I share wisdom with someone, can I really bank on the fact that God could make me able to produce pure wisdom? But James is going, yes, wisdom that's from above, that's in line with who we were made capable of carrying, pure wisdom. Not fallen, not broken, not partial, pure wisdom. That's what I'm capable of. I'm not stopping until I have it. Yes. Right? So good. That whole thing of we're only human. Oh, I want to just like strike that song from the, or just that line. Just that line. We're only human. Like, oh. Okay. So first of all, the wisdom that is from above, that is in line with who we are really made to be, is pure, it is peaceable, it is gentle and willing to yield. What? That just sounded like such a letdown. I'm like, okay, you have let me know what I'm not. Now you're going to tell me what I am. And what I am is I am gentle and peaceable and willing to yield. This was such a joke that my first gal I ever mentored bought me a sign that said yield, a yellow traffic sign. And she's like, I know you're going to put this up in your office. And I'm like, darn it. But it was so right, and full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, because the fruit of uprightness, because righteousness is being upright in this earth, no longer upside down, the fruit of that is sown in peace by those who make peace. What? Because the right side up world needs the peace that's going to happen when we release true wisdom. Why? Because everything's going to change after that. And so how powerful is this? And wow, are we so short on time? But I'm going to take my, I'm asking the Lord, do I take that ministry time and do this instead? One of the first ways that Greg and I really learned to walk in this was one with each other, learning how to be gentle in front of somebody else when the enemy is pressing on them to not be their true selves. I thought that was yielding to the enemy. I thought that was yielding to darkness. But what I started to realize was that when I yield to who the person really is in the presence of the enemy can no longer stand. That just blew me away. And I started to realize that I could yield in the presence of the enemy, not to the enemy, because that's navigating and that just keeps you hooked in the same process. I spent a lot of years doing that, trying to navigate. I never had learned how to overcome. And that was the difference. The second way that we really learned was through our beautiful daughter, Darby, who had been diagnosed with autism, and we didn't know the life that we were going to have. And you know, we had a girl who was beautiful but didn't like to be held, didn't like to be touched, had a very difficult time understanding any kind of verbal instructions. And I asked the Lord, what do we do? Because we didn't know if she would, I mean, and Darby and I just talked about this week, so I didn't, apparently God knew that this was going to happen today. We didn't know if she would ever be married or if she would ever be in a regular classroom or that she would ever be fully healed like she is today. And so for the years that we spent in the journey of watching her be healed and overcoming, we asked the Lord, what do we do? And he said, for us, our journey, and this is not everybody's journey, because not everybody walks a healing journey in the earth. There are some who walk a different journey. Not because God doesn't desire it, not because he's not doing it, but somehow there is just I don't understand it all, and I'm waiting to find out the reason why. But ours was a healing journey, and so we learned to agree with God no matter what we saw in front of us. And so no matter what we saw happening in front of us, we agreed with God instead. And so when we saw, banging head on the floor and an inability to cope with any transition and an inability to cope with the public and an inability to be touched by most everyone that loved her, we instead agreed with what God had to say about who she was and who he made her to be. And we watched over the course of several years her come into the very things that, so we were agreeing with God. We weren't just proclaiming something we wanted to have happen. It was our agreement with the kingdom of heaven that demolished the kingdom of darkness. And we watched this embassy overtake our life. We watched this embassy overtake the landscape of our marriage, overtake the landscape of our bedroom, overtake the landscape of our children. Just take over with good. Yay, right? So I'm gonna, I am gonna show the video tonight, Dan, if you wouldn't mind getting it. So I, about a month ago, was watching just a tiny bit of the very end of the autism that Darby had in her ability to articulate things quickly. And I was asking the Lord, are we gonna ever be done with this? Like, this is the very last piece. I know this, and are we gonna be, like, could we just be done with this? And it was really cool because just earlier this year, Darby hadn't even known that she had autism or that she had been healed. And so I said, how are we, like, we're starting to tell people this public story. How are we gonna do this? Because she doesn't know, and somebody's gonna come up to her and go, yeah, you know, and like, ah, you know, and she doesn't know. And he said, it's okay, like, you can still continue to share it, and it's gonna, like, and so Darby and I were on the way home from horseback riding. Do you remember this? And she said, Mom, tell me stories about how great I was when I was a kid. And I said, I would love to tell you stories about how great you were when you were a kid. And so I told her a few, and she goes, and didn't I have the optimism? And I said, yes, yes you did. And you also had a thing called autism. And so it was so adorable. And I felt like the Lord just went, yeah, that's how we look at it. Didn't you have the optimism? And so that was how we got to have that conversation so that now we can share it together as a family and the beautiful story that God's done in our lives. And so as I was praying through this last part of the healing, we went out and saw Sean Bowles. I don't know if any of you is familiar with Sean Bowles, but we went out and he often does ministry time at the end where he'll just call out somebody's name or somebody's address or phone number. And so we were there. These two girls, and where is, oh, is Ava? Ava's probably, she was there too. And so we're here and I handed the phone to Christy, who's in with our children, and she caught a video, but I need to tell you one funny thing ahead of time. Right? So at the very beginning of this video, what you don't hear is at the very first part of his ministry, Sean is gonna say, is there an Abraham from Arizona? And I am in the balcony and I'm not a kid and I'm not supposed to respond. And I'm like, I'm on The Price is Right. All excited in there. I was like, oh wait, there could be another Abraham from Arizona, but I'm sure there's not. I'm sure he's talking about my kid. And of course I'm not a kid because I'm up in the balcony. You'll see all the kids were down on the floor and all the parents were in the, so I yelled to my daughter down on the floor, Darby, stand up. I mean, really, like, just really, really, this is, oh, so bad. And so she stands up and he says, well, does the number 92304 mean anything? 92304. And I'm like, and she just, she's like, no, no. And I'm like, it's your birthday, 92304. Thank goodness she did not out me, because that's not her birthday. Her birthday is 112304, but I often have mistakenly put 92304 on, like, medical paperwork, school paperwork. And so as soon as he said it, I was like, all in, I'm in. I'm like, I am so suggestible. Seriously, like, I'm going. Would anybody like to be hypnotized next? Because apparently I'm your gal. No, I'm joking. I'm just joking for those listening. Okay, so for those of you who know her actual birthday is not 92304, I can't get past this because it's in the video. And then he goes on to say what he says here for Darby. So Dan's going to play it.
Is that what your answer is before? I can't see you.
Wouldn't that be your birthday? 92304.
92304? Wow. That's awesome. Perfect. Well,
so bad.
Hey, I thought that was Adrian. Here's like, hey, I feel like God wants to be taken around for 9 years on the road, but there's just something that, like, a real success that is really passionate. God knows the Lord is passionate. And Sorry, I feel like I've seen when everyone's fired up in your mind. It just seems like God's going to do something about your ability to take on like new things and new comprehension.
I just new things, new comprehension. We'll have to get some like subtitles because you can hear it really great on my phone. But we hadn't tried it in here. What he started off with, he said, I see neurological things happening in your brain, and I see all of these things happening inside your brain. And then he said, I see that there's no limits. There's no limits. You've had a hard past, but there's no limits moving forward. And then he spoke to her creativity of writing, which was really right on. And I felt like the Lord just so encouraged me. Because he was going, we're just closing the book on this. Like, we're just finishing up and wrapping up what you have walked in. And the gift that this journey gave to us as a family was we started to learn how to speak in line with what God was saying about somebody and not with how they were behaving. And we started to then try that out on my mom, his mother-in-law. We tried that out on other family members. We tried it out on each other. I currently am a little bit sloppy around the house, and Greg is proclaiming and agreeing with God about who he made me to be so that I can overcome the spiritual opposition that's keeping me from being the person that God made me to be. So what we started to realize was Greg even wrote declarations, and we would find out that he would write a declaration and be proclaiming it in his office in the morning, and we would have a breakthrough in the house that lined up with exactly his declaration, but we in the house didn't know that he was declaring it. And it was really, really, yeah, it was really awesome. And so things that we had been hitting up against for years and years and years all of a sudden just crumbled when one person stood up and agreed with God and proclaimed it out loud. I feel like that is really the secret and the mystery that James is wanting us to understand. And then I'll just say this. I had a quote from there's research that's being done on the power of our words and the power of language, because our words have a frequency. And words that align with love and goodness and kindness and joy and compassion have a frequency that changes the frequency of water, changes the frequency of our actual being. And now they have recently done research and shown that language can unlock and change problems within DNA.
Yeah.
Yes, that it can actually change DNA problems. Language, the power of God put this whole world into being through his words. He said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, he formed things and he separated things. He spoke things into being and he separated them. That is our true identity as well. We speak things into being and then we separate light and dark. We were given that same co-creative power. And so I just love that James is going, I want you to understand you are a spiritual being living a human life. Game on. Game on. Close in prayer.
Yeah.
And we'll have a few announcements and we'll do our prophetic time. Okay. I'll pray this time.
Yeah,
okay.
You do.
Yay, thanks. I feel so far from you. We're standing so far and I didn't have my, yeah. Okay. Holy Spirit, you are the kindest, most loving, most joyful person I have ever met. And Jesus, you are unrelentingly for me and for us. There isn't a moment that you stop agreeing with God about me as you live inside of my body, as you breathe every breath, as you live in my flesh. There isn't a moment that you're not agreeing with God about me. Father, you know me more than I know myself. You know each of us here in this room more than we've ever known ourselves. And you are releasing the host of heaven in our lives to awaken us so that we can no longer be fooled and duped into silly behaviors that are so beneath who you made us to be. I thank you, Lord, that you love to live an intimate life with us. And the reason it's so essential that we hear your voice daily is so that we can agree with you instead of anything else. I thank you, Lord, that you are making this a thin place, a place where heaven and earth are released from us, not to us. We are the thin place. We are the gate. We are heaven on earth. And our agreement with you is greater than an entire city's agreement with the enemy. So, Lord, I just celebrate that you are right now awakening us, and that just as Darby overcame autism, every single one of us needs a shift in our ability to think. So, Lord, I ask that you would, in fact, I just put my hands on my head and I say thank you for you to awaken my brain and my thought processes to be easily aligned with you. And may all of us just receive right now a blessing from you, Lord, for our brains to be rewired, our brains to be blessed in the ability to just easily agree with you and to see things differently this week. May our thoughts and minds and hearts be elevated.